This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sheikh, now ready when you are, inshallah. Sheikh, the mic is muted.
Ready, inshallah, ready.
Okay, let us begin, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our 65th lesson of Usul al-Thalatha with our Honorable Sheikh Salem Al-Amri. And today will be our final session of this beautiful text, Usul al-Thalatha. Inshallah, from next lesson, we will start with a new text, Masail Jahiliyyah. And Sheikh will give some information towards the end regarding that. We will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الشيخ سالم العمري.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters in Islam today is our weekly class, Thalathat al-Usul, and by Allah's grace, we are reaching the end of this beautiful book. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, وَافْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْعِبَادِ الْكُفْرَ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon mankind to disbelieve in false deities and believe in Allah. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah, and that's the meaning of the negation and the affirmation in the kalima. You negate first, that means you disbelieve in all false deities, and then you believe in the true deity, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot say that I believe in Allah, but I will not disbelieve in the in false deities. In that case, your shahada will not be valid, and you will not become a Muslim if you don't disbelieve in the false deities that are worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why Quraysh were reluctant to accept the kalima, because they understood the meaning of it, that they have to get rid of all the 360 idols and disbelieve in all of them. That's why they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. How come he made all the 360 idols, all the gods that we worship, all the false deities that we worship into one? And he wants only us to worship one, and that's Allah Azza wa Jal. This is an amazing thing, they said. So that's why they were opposing the message of the Prophet, because what he calls them, that you get rid of all the intermediaries you set between you and Allah, and you worship only Allah. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى. So this is very important issue to understand, my dear brothers and sisters, that you actualize the Tawheed and you worship only Allah without associating any partner with him, without worshiping any false deity. Then and only then you become a Muslim, and then and only then you actualize Tawheed in your life. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى معنى الطاغوت ما تجاوز به العبد حده من معبود أو متبوع أو مطاع. والطواغيت كثيرون ورؤوسهم خمسة: إبليس لعنه الله، ومن عبد وهو راض، ومن دعا الناس إلى عبادة نفسه، ومن ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب، ومن حكم بغير ما أنزل الله. والدليل قوله تعالى لا إكراه في الدين، لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي، فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. So Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, explaining the meaning of the disbelief in the Taghut, he said, the meaning of the Taghut, it is actually from the root Tagha Yatgha, which means to exceed the limit. So the meaning of Taghut is someone or thing, can be human being, can be a thing, for whose sake a worshiper transgresses limits. So the one who worships this false deity, which is Taghut, because this deity deserves not to be worshipped, because the one who deserves to be worshipped is Allah. So this worshiper, he transgressed and crossed the limit and has considered and has taken this false deity as an object of worship, equating it to the creator of the heavens and the earth by worshiping this deity, calling this deity, offering sacrifices to this deity, etc. So it is this deity that the worshiper transgresses limits, such as those who are worshipped some people, they ask the people to worship them. Such as those who are worshipped, followed, or obeyed. So the any deity that is worshipped, then that is taghut, or followed, or obeyed. And the tawaghit, the plural of taghut, are many. There are many. But their heads, which means the main ones, the main false deities among different deities, are five. But their heads are five. Number one, Iblis. May Allah curse him. So that's the first taghut. Because all evil comes from him. He is the one who took upon himself to walk around the clock to mislead the children of Adam. He is the one behind our father to leave the Jannah. Adam alayhi salam, when he misled him and lied to him and cheated him by convincing him to eat from the tree. And then when he came down to earth, he is working all the time to mislead the children of Adam, mankind. Because he committed himself to do that. That I am going to mislead them. I will come from the right, from the left, from the before them, behind them. So I will use all my tricks and all my ways to make them disobey their creator. So no wonder he is number one. He's the top in the list, of misleading humanity and mankind. So you need to disbelieve in him. He's your open enemy. You have to take care and be cautious and never to trust him or listen to his whispers. Because mainly he calls his followers إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ يَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. So he's calling his followers to be the companions of the blazing fire. He doesn't want to be alone. So he starts showing his enmity in the Jannah to our father, Adam alayhi salam, and in the dunya, in this world. The moment we came into this world, the moment one of us is born, he is there next to the midwife. The moment the baby comes out, he hits each one of us in the belly button. And that's why every child cries, except Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam and his mother. So this is Iblis. And so the the enmity starts. From the moment you enter into this dunya, he is there, sparing no effort to harm you. Until you breathe your last, even when you are dying, breathing your last, he is there, trying to make you die, not upon the faith, not upon the deen, not upon Islam. So this is the shaitan. They said Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was dying, and those around him, they told him, say la ilaha illallah. His son was telling him, oh my father, say la ilaha illallah. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said, laysa ba'd, not yet. Not yet. So his son said, oh my father, what is it, not yet? He told him, listen, my son, the cursed one is next to me, biting his fingers, saying to me, telling me, oh Ahmad, you managed to escape from my grip. I couldn't do anything to you. I tried my best to harm you. I use all my tricks. I use all my agents and helpers and supporters to harm you. But you remained steadfast. So you escaped. So I'm telling him, not yet. I cannot be sure that I managed to escape of your tricks till I die. So this is what the shaitan does. From the moment you enter into this world till you leave it, he doesn't leave you. He's always there. So he is number one, the first taghut you have to disbelieve in, the false deities. The second taghut, whoever is worshipped while being pleased with that, is worshipped, deified, ask the people to worship him, like the Pharaoh, Pharaon. He was worshipped, asking the people to worship him. So anyone who's worshipped while being pleased with that is happy, and he is asking the people to do that, then he is a taghut. Because he trespassed the limits, crossed the limits, and he is claiming divinity, giving himself divine attributes that he deserved to be worshipped. Because the one who deserves to be worshipped is the creator, not the creature. So whoever is worshipped while being pleased with that, not his worship, and he's not aware of it and hates it, like Isa alayhi salam is worshipped. The Christians, they worship Isa alayhi salam. You cannot say because he's worshipped, he's taghut. No, Isa alayhi salam is against this. He's unaware of what the Christians are doing. That's why when he comes back, first thing he will do is to break the crucifix, the cross. شكنا نزل فيكم ابن مريم حكما عدلا فيكسر الصليب ويقتل الخنزير ويضع الجزية. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying it's about time. This is the time. The time is due for the son of Mary, Isa عليه السلام, to descend. And he will break the cross, which is the symbol of the crucifixion, to tell the Christians that what you have been worshiping is false. I was not crucified. I was not killed. So he will break the cross. And those who will come to him, "Oh Master, in your name we curse out and driven out the demons," say, "Forsake me. Go, I don't know you." Because in that day, Isa alayhi salam will not accept from the Christians anything. Neither the Christians nor the Jews except al-Islam. And that is when the ayah will be, the prophecy mentioned in the ayah, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ, that none from the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, except that they will believe in him on that day. The Jews, they didn't accept him as the Messiah, alayhi salam, but on that day they will. Because he will not accept anything from anyone. Either you become Muslims or he will kill them. So he will break the cross, kill the swine, this dirty animal, pigs, and he will not accept the tax, the jizya, because the jizya is taken from the non-Muslims and they remain on their own faith, on their own belief. But on that day, no jizya. Either you become a Muslim or he kills them. So that's why they will believe in him, alayhi salam. So here you cannot say because he's worshipped his tahut, because he's not pleased with that. He's against it, and he was not aware that he was worshipped. But anyone else who's worshipped and he's pleased with that, like Fir'aun, then he's Tahut. He is Tahut. Third one, whoever calls the people to worship himself, he's calling them, "Worship me." Anyone calls the people to worship him, then he's a tahut. He is tahut. And the fourth one, whoever claims to have knowledge of the unseen, to know about the ghaib, like diviners, fortune tellers, soothsayers, all those magicians, psychics, palmists. So anyone who claims to have knowledge of the unseen, he is tahut. And you have to disbelieve in him, and you should not accept such deity. Whoever claims, because the knowledge of the unseen belongs exclusively to Allah Azza wa Jalla. No one knows the unseen. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. No one. And those who claim, like the magicians, astrologers, they deceive the people that something, this is going to happen on this day. And it happens. So the people say, yes, he told us, and it happens. So he knows the unseen. No. He doesn't. What really happens, what happened, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he decreed a matter, something to happen, he talks about it. He speaks about it. He informs the malaika, the angels in heaven about it. And this was mentioned in the authentic hadith. So when the Prophet when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees a matter, decides something to happen, he speaks, he talks about it. And with the moment Allah starts speaking, all the angels in the seven heavens, they become unconscious, all of them. The first one to regain his consciousness will be Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah will inform Jibreel about what he decreed. Allah would inform Jibreel about what he decreed, and then Jibreel would inform the angels that Allah decreed that on this day there will be earthquake, there will be volcano, there will be this, there will be that. So this information is passed from Jibreel to the inhabitants of the first heaven, seventh heaven. Then the angels start to talk about it. And this information is passed to the indwellers and the inhabitants of the sixth heaven. So the information is cascaded down till this information reaches the malaika in the first heaven. Now, the eavesdroppers of the jinn, as the Prophet ﷺ described them, they climb on top of each other, the jinn. Till they reach very near to the first heaven. But Allah protected the sky from the eavesdroppers, from the jinn, by the shooting stars. So imagine now the jinn, they are one on top of the other and they are listening. So they hear the malaika talking about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. But the one who's very next, close to the first heaven, he's seeing shooting star is aiming at him. So he cannot pass the full information. So part of that information passed to the one beneath him. And the shooting star is chasing them. So the information, by the time it reached the one who is on earth from the jinn, is only a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. then this piece of information is given to the human soothsayer or diviner who deals with the jinn. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and he adds to it 99 lives. So he mentions 100 prophecies, 100 things that will happen. Only one happened, which is the true information received from above. And 99 lies, he promises, nothing happened because they are lies. But unfortunately, the people will not recall the 99 lies that he said and promised that these things will happen. They will only remember, oh, he told us this, which is which happens, because that what Allah Azza wa Jal decreed. And that information is stolen, okay, through the eavesdroppers who heard it from the malaika in heaven. So my dear brothers and sisters, no one knows the unseen except Allah. So do not be misled by them. For example, you go to those fortune tellers and he tells you about yourself, about your life. He tells you, you are the son of so-and-so, you live in this area, you are this, your age is this, and he mentions your bio data. And you feel, oh my God, how did he know? Very simple. Because he deals with the jinn. And each one of us has a jinn with him. We have the qareen, companion from among the jinn. He's with us all the time. So he has the archive. Everything about you is with him. So he passes that information to this guy who deals with the jinn. So he has all the information about you. That's it. Not that he knows the unseen, no. He's dealing with the jinn, and the jinn, the companion of each one of us, each one has a companion, even the Prophet ﷺ. That's why our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said to the Prophet ﷺ, even you have a companion? He said, yes, but he cannot command me to do something wrong. Allahu a'anani alayhi fa aslam. So the scholars, they say, aslam means what? The companion of the Prophet ﷺ from among the jinn became Muslim? Possible. Or aslam, that I am safe from his evil, so he cannot command me to do something evil. But the companions of all of us, they are not Muslims. And we are not safe from their evil. So this companion, he passes the information to the fortune tellers, diviner, this magician. Also, some of those magicians and fortune tellers and diviners, they claim that they can make you communicate to your ancestors who passed away, your parents, grandparents, your father, your mother who passed away. So they will tell you, do you want to hear them? Do you want to talk to them? Say, yes. Say, come. And then your father will start talking to you. Your mother talking to you. Her voice, yes. And you go, oh my God. She is my mother. That's the voice of my dad. No. It was not the voice of your dad or your mom. No. the voice of the companion of your mother and the companion of your father. Because when we die, my dear brothers and sisters, the companion doesn't die when we die. No. Their lifespan is very long, so they remain. So they fool the people by calling the companions. Some non-Muslims, who they believe in the reincarnation, they say when a person dies, his soul goes into another being. And there are many stories. They say, our father came to us after his death in the form of a young boy, and he told us, he visited us. We saw him, said, I'm your father. This is my house. This is my room. This is my wife. This is my son. This is my daughter. So they think that it was really their father, when they don't know that was the shaitan, the companion of their father, who comes to them to mislead them. And this is how the jinn fools children of Adam. So the unseen belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone claims the knowledge of the unseen, he is Tawut, and he is not a Muslim. And those who deal with the shayateen, with the jinn will not cooperate with you, will not help you and facilitate things for you until you leave al-Islam, you leave Islam. When you become a disbeliever, then they start to cooperate and help you. That's why they will ask you to do something kufr. They will ask you, for example, to step over the Quran, put the Quran under your feet, or throw the Quran in impurity, or write Quranic verses in menstrual blood. They ask you to do something kufr, or prostrate in front of them. Then they will help you. So anyone claims that he has knowledge of the unseen, he's a tagut, he's a liar, he's a false deity, should not be worshipped, and he deals with the jinn. He deals with the jinn. And the ruling in Islam for those who interact with the jinn is capital punishment. That is the ruling in Islam. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, he issued a decree and sent it throughout the state to all the governors, and uktulu kulla sahir wa sahira. Kill all magicians, male and female. Kill them. Because a magician is not a Muslim. Once you started practicing the sihr and you are dealing with the jinn, you leave Islam. And practicing the sihr and witchcraft and sorcery is one of the nullifiers of Islam. Takes a person out of Islam. So the knowledge of the unseen, my dear brothers and sisters, No one knows the unseen, the ghaib, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said Imam Malik rahimahullah, once he saw in his dream the angel of death. So he asked him, how long will I live? How much time is left of my life? So he saw the angel of death telling him like that. And he woke up. So he asked Ibn Sirin, that is what is mentioned in the books. He said, this is, what is the interpretation of this dream? This is what I saw. And he told me like this. Is it what? 5 days? 5 hours? 5 years? So Ibn Sirin told him, no. He's telling you, you have asked me regarding 5 things only Allah knows. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت. So he's telling you, you asked me about 5 things, they belong to Allah. I don't know them. I don't know when a person is going to die except when Allah tells me go and take his soul. I don't know that. So the hour belongs to Allah. In Allah عنده علم الساعة. No one knows the hour, when the hour would start. Yes, signs we're giving, that's true. But when, we don't know. We know the day, it will be in Friday. Which Friday, we don't know. So the hour belongs to Allah. In Musa, this is part of Allah's knowledge. وَيْنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, the one who brings down the rain, Allah. If someone says, now we can seed the clouds and bring the rain, you are not the one who brought it down. Who caused the evaporation? Who caused it to condensate? And many times they tried and no rain came. So the one who sends the rain is Allah, and there is an angel who is in charge of the rain, Mikael. How many times the forecast said we are going to have heavy rain tomorrow? And the clouds are very black, full of water, on top of our heads, and no single drop. And we hear the thunders, and we see the lightning, and no one drop of water. Because the one who's in charge of that was told not. The rain comes over your head. It passes over your head, the clouds, over your area. It's not meant to fall in that place, somewhere else. So Allah, the hour belongs to Him. Is the one who sends down the rain. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, he knows what is inside the wombs. If you say now by the scanning, they can know what is in the womb. That is not the meaning. Who told you the meaning is to know what is in the womb, girl or boy? Science cannot tell you this child, how long is going to live? This child, is it going to be pious or impious? Obedient or disobedient? Muslim or kafir? So Allah knows everything about that child, which no one can know about it. Is this child going to heaven or going to hell? أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. That's the fourth one. No one knows what he's going to earn tomorrow. No one knows. And the fifth, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بَأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And no single soul knows where, which land, where I'm going to die. We don't know. If you go to the graveyard and see the people there, this one was born in India and he died in UK. What brought him to the UK? His rizq, to search for his rizq. As the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ رِزْقَ عَبْدٍ فِي بَلَدٍ سَاقَهُ إِلَيْهِ. When Allah writes someone's provision, okay, to be found in this place, he sends you to that place to work there, earn your livelihood there, and you die there. So the knowledge of the unseen belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth, taghut, whoever rules by other than what Allah has revealed. You replace the law of Allah and substitute it by man-made law. Oh, Allah's law, you are not applicable to address our problems. We'll substitute the law of Allah by the English law, the French law, man-made law. A law that is full of loopholes. A law that is full of defects. A law that will not solve the problems, the law that will not prevent crimes, and we get rid of the law, the divine law, which is perfect. If it is implemented, security will be established, peace will be established, equality will be there, and justice will prevail. So whoever replaces Allah's law by man-made law, then he has crossed and trespassed his limit, because that is not his right. That's not your right. You are a human being. You are abd, servant. But the shaitan fools you. So you think now you can legislate. You can make halal and haram. You make things lawful and unlawful. You equate yourself to the lawgiver. Then you are doomed. and you become taghut. And people should not listen to you. And people should not follow you. Because if they follow you and listen to you, then they worship you. You become their deity. As Allah said, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. They have taken their monks and the rabbis as lords besides Allah, the Jews and the Christians. So when the Prophet ﷺ read this ayah, Adi ibn Hatim, who was a Christian before, he said, O Prophet of Allah, we did not worship them. We did not take them as lords, arbab, besides Allah. He thought that we did not prostrate and worship them. So the Prophet ﷺ explained to him how they worshiped them. He said, didn't they, the monks and the rabbis and the monks, didn't they make the unlawful lawful, something haram, they made it halal? And the lawful unlawful, something halal, they made it haram. And you followed them when they did that for you? He said, yes. So that's how you worship them. That's how you have taken them as lords and they became your deities. You worship them. So this is the fifth category. And that's what Allah mentioned as in the ayah 256 of Surah Al-Baqarah. La ikraha fi al-deen. There's no compulsion in religion. Why? But tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. So whoever disbelieves in the taghut and believes in Allah, first you disbelieve in the taghut, as explained, and then believes in Allah, then he has taken hold of the firmest handhold that will never break. And Allah is the all-hearer, the all-knower. And in the hadith, عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني من النار. قال لقد سألت عن عظيم وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله عليه. تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون. سورة السجدة ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال: ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ فقلت: بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال: كف عليك هذا. قلت: يا نبي الله، وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال: ثكلتك أمك. نظر إليه يا معاذ: وهل يكب الناس على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي. وقال: حديث حسن صحيح، وصححه الألباني رحمهم الله تعالى. معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me of an act, amal, which will take me into paradise and will keep me away from the hellfire. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, You have asked me about a great matter, yet it is easy for whom Allah makes it easy. If Allah makes to make any matter easy, He makes it easy. Worship Allah without associating any partners with Him. That's number one. Establish the prayer, maintain your prayers, pay the zakah, fast in Ramadan, and make the pilgrimage to the house. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shall I not guide you towards the means of goodness? Fasting is a shield. You know, the shield the warrior used to protect himself from the arrows or the sword. So fasting is a shield because it will protect you from the desires. Because fasting weakens the sexual drive. That's why the Prophet ﷺ recommended fasting for the young men and young women, the shabab, the youth. Encourage them to get married if they cannot afford getting married, then they should resort to fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ, which means it acts like as if someone is castrated. So the desire is reduced. Fasting is a shield. Charity wipes away sin as water extinguishes fire. This is the virtue of sadaqah. When you give sadaqah, you put out the heat of the sins. You extinguish the heat of the sins you perpetrated and committed. As water extinguishes fire. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we should develop this habit of giving sadaqah on a daily basis and never trivialize the sadaqah you give out, but get used to that. Just make it your habit. Al-Abdu fi dhilli sadaqatihi yawm al-qiyamah. A slave, the servant will be in the shade of his charity on the day of resurrection. So the reward of the charity will be materialized and will form shade for you when the sun is above the head. So the more charity you give out, the more shade you're going to have. So keep spending. And praying of a man in the depths of the night. This is another good deed one should do, tahajjud. You leave the bed, the warmth of the bed, and you take wudu and you start praying before Allah. And Qiyam al-Layl Sharaf al-Mu'min, praying at night, is the real honor of the mu'min. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recited, those who forsake their beds, tatajafa junubhum anil madaja, they cannot relax on their beds, to invoke their Lord in fear and hope, and they spend charity in Allah's cause out of what we have bestowed on them. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. Surah As-Sajdah, ayah 16 to 17. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, shall I not inform you of the head of the matter, its pillar and its peak? I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the head of the matter is Islam. Al-Islam is the head of the matter. And the pillar of this Islam is the Salah. If you don't pray, you're not a Muslim. إن العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. So the covenant between us and them is the salah. Whoever leaves it, he has disbelieved. And its peak is the jihad. The peak and the pinnacle is the jihad. The jihad is the pinnacle of the deen of al-Islam. Fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, shall I not tell you of the foundation of all of that? I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. So he took hold of his tongue and said, restrain this. Control your tongue. Control your tongue. I said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be taken to account for what we say with it? Are we going to be held accountable for what we say? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, may your mother be bereaved of you. May your mother lose you. This is an expression which is similar to woe to you. What's wrong with you? May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh. Is there anything that throws people into the hellfire upon their faces, that how they fall into the hellfire, or on their noses, except the harvest of their tongues because of what they uttered and what they pronounced? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evil of our tongues. Ameen. Then the authors say, Wallahu a'lamu sallallahu sallam ala Muhammad alayhi sahbihi tammat al-usul al-thalatha. And Allah knows best. May Allah send his peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi sallam, his family, and his companions. This is the end of the three fundamentals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our deeds, and may Allah make our deeds pure, purely for Him and sincerely for Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us die upon the Tawheed. May Allah make the last word we utter, Shahadat Allah, ilaha illallah, anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And may Allah Azza wa Jal shower His mercy and elevate the status of Imam al-Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him immensely for all his efforts, for all his works. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah unite our hearts in the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience, for your dedication, and for your attendance. So this brings us to the end of this book, and inshallah, coming week, we are starting another book by the Sheikh Muhammad Rahimahullah Ta'ala, which is Masail al-Jahiliyyah, the issues of the days of Jahiliyyah, days of ignorance. So inshallah, you will be patient as you are. You were patient to go through the entire text. So inshallah, we'll go through the new text together, inshallah, if we remain alive. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khair, Fadilat al-Sheikh. Sheikh Salem, for being patient with us. It is rather the opposite way, for being patient with us throughout this amazing journey, going through this text in great detail, which we have very few nowadays, where the knowledge is becoming weaker, shorter, one-day course, two-hour course. Alhamdulillah, it has been a really blessed time. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this heavy on your scales and to allow us to remain in good health, inshallah, so we can benefit from you further, bi-idhnillah. Sheikh, if you allow, we'll start the question and answers time now, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Okay. We have received the first question. If there are any other questions, please send them in fast. And we will take them, inshallah. The next question. You can also ask the questions verbally. Please do so. And this is the time to clarify anything that you may have confusions on before we go on to the next text, inshallah. So if you do have any questions, please send them in. Fadl Sheikh.
Yeah. Just before we start answering the questions, I have a small request, my dear brothers and sisters. Go throughout your notes. Now you know all the talks are recorded. You can listen to them. And now share this knowledge with your family, with your friends. If you want to retain the knowledge, teach it to others. Share it with others. Okay, so go through your notes and listen to the talks again and again. This is very beautiful book, the Tawheed, and also the one before it, the Kashf al-Shubuhat, removal of doubts. Because unfortunately, Muslim nowadays, they don't pay attention to the issues of Aqidah, the issues of Tawheed. So this is my request from all of you to go through the course, the Kashf al-Shubuhat, the removal of doubts, and the three fundamentals. Barakallahu feekum. Yes, first question.
First question, Sheikh. If a disbeliever gives a piece of paper to a Muslim and tells them to write down what gifts they want for Christmas, is it haram for the Muslim to fill out the form and to accept these gifts on a different day, other than when they have their Christmas party and they do not participate in the Christmas party?
No, it's not allowed, whether it is a Christmas party or any other time, because the whole thing is about the commemorating this and celebrating this Eid or feast. And you know, Christmas is heathen, is the feast of the heathen, pagans. Okay, so the Romans before King Constantine or Constantine became Christian, he used to celebrate it. So he brought it along with him. And the Christians, they accepted that. So Christmas has nothing to do with the birth of Isa alayhi salam. Isa was not born in December. Go to Jerusalem and Palestine in December, and it is snow all over. Okay. And when Isa was born, the date palm trees were bearing fruit. So there's no connection at all. So when you celebrate Christmas, you are actually celebrating the feast and the Eid of the pagans, the heathens. So we, as Muslims, we don't accept anything like that. Is this clear to the question, to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah reward Sheikh for sharing the beneficial knowledge. Jazakallah khair. What is the sunnah way to practice while we take medicine? Is it right to say Bismillah ya Shafi?
Okay, to say Bismillah, there's nothing wrong with that when you want to take. And if you say, oh Allah, you are the healer, not the medicine. So this is only a cause. So you are my healer. You are the healer. So heal me. Cure me from this. There's nothing wrong with that. Next.
Next question, Sheikh. My school has Quran recitation every morning and before starting an assembly. Is this bid'ah?
No, it's not bid'ah. It's not bid'ah. They just you begin the day by listening to the speech of Allah. What a beautiful beginning.
The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah reward you immensely with good in this world and the next. Sheikh, I sometimes hesitate to give charity to some people. Most of the beggars in my country are professionals. What should I do?
You should search and look for the poor families. Okay. There are many people who are poor and they don't ask. Those are the ones we should look for them and give them our sadaqah. Not those professional beggars who are on the streets. Next.
Sheikh, that was our last question. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah, jazakallah khair.
Barakallah feekum, jazakumullah khair. Inshallah. Looking forward to seeing you in the coming class, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you. May Allah bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family, elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im, ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah keep us remaining steadfast in this beautiful deen. And may Allah bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds, ameen. Till we meet, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. بحفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. السلام عليكم.
السلام.